Hey, this is Bill Fichtner, and you're listening to Out Now. Stay tuned. I fought the law, and
the law won. I fought the law. We are now recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and as always, this is...
Abe, hello! How are you, Aaron?
I'm doing quite well. A little tired.
A little tired. Just a little.
So, here we are. Actually, let's just get... How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Let's get this out of the way. Out Now is a film podcast where we don't really discuss the movies weekly. However, every now and then, there's special bonus episodes with sort of our fun commentary tracks that we never do. And this is what's funny about these bonus episodes is that whenever we're together, it's never like a traditional, like, hey, I'm going to be by you this weekend. Let's go to each other's houses. It's always some random experimental, like, bullshit that we put together. Like,
I don't know if it's bullshit.
No, it's not bullshit, but, like, it's always, it's never, like, something, there's never, like, a, hey, Abe's in the town. He's going to come over to my house. It's like, let's record at a movie theater. Let's record outside of Fenton's. Let's record, in the parking lot somewhere.
It's called being live in the field.
I know, it's just like,
and we've had recordings where we've been in studio before.
We've been to, like, other people's houses. Hey, let's record at Tall Ken's place.
Yeah, true.
Hey,
yeah.
Let's record at my uncle's place.
We had the Halloween recording at your house.
Which
was it Halloween?
What Halloween?
It was a special
recording.
Episode with Mark Hoffmeyer and co. We had it in your media room.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Yeah, there's one.
One. Yeah.
Of the 15 years.
Yeah. 15 years, God.
It's always like some random like field trip that we do. Right now, we're not near any either of our houses.
No, we're not. No. We're in the middle of nowhere.
We're closer to to Eureka than we are to most other things at this point.
Probably. Like, Eureka's still pretty far away.
So that's what we're doing. We had to see Super Troopers 3. And we're like, let's do it in like the Redwood Forest. Like, that's basically what happened.
I mean, that's the best place to do it. Also, if you're hearing like, why does it sound like we're both a little bit far away or close to the mic? We're single micing it right now.
Yeah.
Single micing it. We're shouting in Aaron's car.
Yeah. So anyway.
We're getting a lot of weird stares from the audience right now.
That's the other thing, yeah. These live shows where it's like animals and passerbys and janitors. Like, that's...
If you hear a train, we're also by the train tracks.
We're by train tracks. Like, the Foley work in this episode is exceptional. Okay, so we don't have a traditional episode this week,
No. Obviously. Yeah.
What we're going to do is basically go... Like,
by the way, why are you up here?
I came up to San Francisco to go to the Outside Lands Music Festival.
That's right.
3-day music festival. I was happy to stay with some friends. I was having to meet up with some people, including you, mm-hmm. and now here we are doing this podcast,
mm-hmm.
Because of course we have to do the podcast.
Of course, yeah.
And yeah, we just saw a movie together, and now we're talking, we're going to talk about that and other things. So what else we've seen this, that's what we're going to do. We're talking about what we've seen recently, as we normally do.
Right.
Provide whatever kind of, you know, hot take review we can after what we just saw, and of course, whatever feedback we have, whatever else is on our minds,
yeah,
I guess,
because
we have nothing but time.
on a Sunday night right before work.
I guess show notes. if you enjoyed this lengthy intro, and you're
hold
like,
on, let me look up the box office.
You look up the box office while I say, if you enjoyed this lengthy intro, oh man, there's years of this.
Okay,
and you can go to iTunes or Spotify or anywhere you want to look about now there today. And if you besides downloading episodes of our show, you can also give us a review.
Yeah, thank you so much in advance.
Yeah. All right, let's do it.
We have summer box office.
Of course, we're in the midst of the box office gamble, where Dave and I and many other guests of the show have predicted tried to predict the top 10 highest grossing films of the summer box office.
Yeah.
So Spider-Man, of course, made another $145 million. As a fun fact, I was on Scott's box office podcast last week, and we all guessed what would Spider-Man make in its second weekend.
What'd you guess?
I guess 145.
Really?
What did Scott
get? What did box office guru Scott Mendelson guess?
I believe he went 155.
That's not far off.
It's not far. Yeah. It's far from home. That's what it is.
You know, all right.
No, this is over.
It's a brand new day.
Yeah, I got it right. I went low. I think
that was low. Everybody else was like in between.
In like 151, 152. Yeah, that right. That's it. I said 145.
Okay.
Because the last week was like 160.
Sure, yeah.
For its opening weekend. Not 160, 360.
Uh-huh.
But regardless,
still, 169.
It's still a pretty spectacular hold. That movie's making money.
Some may say amazing.
Yeah, amazing, spectacular, fantastic, marvelous.
Yeah, web slinging.
Excelsior.
It always fits.
No refunds.
You know, I'm gonna miss him. Excelsior.
You know what's funny? Like it's a funny bit in the movie.
It's a beautiful bit.
It really is. But also, it literally, like when I saw it with press that week, because we saw like 2 months early.
Yeah,
it was literally the same. I don't think it was the day, but it was like the same like week that he had just passed.
Yeah.
So like
yeah.
it like
that's what made
like,
it extra special.
It felt a little extra like hearing it like that.
It actually worked out as like a beautiful like last.
It's a really nice
last like cameo appearance. In any of the films.
Odyssey made another $31 million this weekend. It's at $461 million. Spider-Man, by the way, it's at $655 million, and
it's... sheesh, I think it's crossed $1 billion worldwide.
It's at $1.67 billion.
That's right.
It's more than crossed $1 billion. One Night Only debuted at $5.7 million. Super Troopers 3, $4 million. Toy Story 5, $3.9 million. It's at $470 million. Minions and Monsters at $176 million. Moana is cresting at $121 million. The fucking Ice Cream Man
making money. A lot of fans writing that they're upset about it on Twitter.
Oh, we'll talk about it. Did I talk about Ice Cream
Man
last week?
You talked about last week, yeah.
Well, it only got worse. Okay. As far as Eli's response to the AI stuff. Let's see.
Rounding out the top 10, Invite.
Invite. And the cat
I've heard good things about
every
it.
Every year they come along, and every year it makes us a modicum of money.
It was an AMC Fathom event or something.
I know Hadestown got like an extended release.
Okay.
But it's like, I think, of less theaters.
$20 million, not bad.
So $20 million, yeah. Like, totally, yeah. And Tony finally debuted.
Is that the official debut, or is that like early release?
Tony's got a limited debut, then it goes wide in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I was like, oh, it's a little bit low.
Wide in 2 weeks. Yeah. Like you can see, it's only on 6 theaters.
Right.
Sorry, 481 theaters. Still, it's still a limited release. But
no, you're right, 6 theaters. Tony.
Is that Tony? Oh, it is Tony. Okay, I was looking at Hayes. Okay, and then
that's not bad per average, then.
No, it isn't.
Yeah.
And Teenage Sex and Death at Camp Me.
That's also early.
Which I look forward to us having a larger discussion on in the future.
Right.
Okay, so that's box office.
Yeah.
What else? Let's see. Commentary tracks, of course. We do commentaries every month on this podcast, and we are now in August. We will be talking Snakes on a Plane.
Yes!
For its 20th anniversary. Get ready. Get your snakes in order. Get your bags packed, and remember that Kenan Thompson and Taylor Kitsch are both in that movie.
I forgot that Taylor Kitsch was in that movie.
He dies pretty early.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler. Taylor Kitsch doesn't make it.
Texas forever.
That's what he says when he dies in the movie. Texas forever. Clear eyes.
Ours can't lose.
Yeah, but that's going to be our next commentary track. Looking forward to that one for sure. Let's see. What I think that's all the show notes. Okay, we can move on from there. Let's do an extended Out Now quickies.
DM.
Each week, not only we don't talk about the movies, not only
we quickies. Trademark.
All right, Abe, what else have you seen?
I finally finished Goat. This is a movie that I watched, I think I started like 6 months ago. And, classic Abe vision where I'll start something and then I was like a third of the way in, I'll just stop it and I'll just go do something else and I'll finally return to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not terrible. I think the story kind of goes by a little too quickly, meaning like they get to like the problem that they're running into. It becomes a major league situation where like the team owner's like, I'm actually going to sell the team. Like, you know, it's like, I don't really want you guys here. And then it just goes into a battle. The animation looks great. You know, it's really fun to see Steph Curry producing this movie. He voices a character in this movie as well.
Is it a goat?
No, he's actually the giraffe in this movie. Of course Lenny he is. The giraffe. The goat is voiced by Caleb McLaughlin.
So Steph Curry plays one of the tallest characters in the movie?
That's right.
That's very funny.
It's very ironic. That's why he likes it, I guess.
Yeah.
the fields that they're playing, the arenas that they're playing in, improbable. How are these things even? This is an OSHA violation.
That's what's improbable. And was it Roarball?
Yeah. It's the most improbable thing, aside from everything else in this story. I like it, but I don't think I loved it. I appreciated it, and I also think that it would have been... it's a great story for children. Steph Curry is always making stories about how, you know, if you're small and undersized, you can still make an impact, whether it be in your community, in your school, with your athletic team.
Miniature golf,
yeah. Anything that you have. So it's really cool to see him have this movie and have that come out. I also watch Nirvana, the band, the show. Neon released everything on Hulu. So
it's out now. The show's on Hulu now. Okay,
yep,
good.
Yeah.
I look forward to watching
it. It's on Hulu, and they've released all, I don't know how many seasons, but I'm sure that they're all there. And I watched the first episode. I'm kind of just like taking it pretty slow and easy. It opens the way the movie opens, so I thought I was losing my mind. And I was like, oh, wait, right. Yeah, they did that purposefully in the movie to, like, play with the time streams. This show is, like, it is this ostensibly the same thing as the movie, but it is so, like, I admire it so much because what they hone in on specifically is, yes, they do a lot of, like, sight gags and they do a lot of, like, on-the-street type gags. And some of it is like, you know, actual real life, on the street stuff where they just are recording like, you know, whatchamacallit, what's the thing where they're like recording like just, ad hoc, like guerrilla style.
Yeah.
So guerrilla style filmmaking where they're just doing stuff there. There's a really funny bit, where they're in the public library and they just like are talking very closely to one guy who's just there and he helps them chime in and he actually gives them an idea and they just do the idea. You'll see it later.
Okay.
But what's great about this first episode, and I'm curious how the other episodes go. I'm not going to spoil it for you, Aaron, but they key in on like a specific movie and they play that movie out like through the rest of the through the rest of the episode. Like they'll reference it back and back and back. And you're just like, this is like an incredible homage to this movie. And if they do this for every episode where they're just like playing a movie, What a fun concept.
This seems not unlike the actual movie, though.
Exactly, yeah. The actual movie, they keyed in on Back to the Future. And in this one, you'll find out. But it's a really fun watch. We were kind of referencing Stan Lee earlier with all the Into the Spider-Verse stuff. I did watch those two again for no real reason other than like, oh, yeah, I'm curious how this animation looks. I think I was trying to buy the DVDs, the 4Ks. Mm-hmm. Into the Spider-Verse 4K, not really found. I can't really find it. Across the Spider-Verse, yes, available. But they're on streaming, so I watch them there, just to prime myself. Still really good. Like, they are probably my top two Spider-Man film universe, films, even if they're animated. Really good, just really strong stuff. I'm really excited for the last of the trilogy.
Beyond
the Spider-Verse. And yeah, like, I'm really looking forward to it, but those movies are so contextually strong with script and story and just the way that Miles Morales is fleshed out and, you know, like Peter B. Parker is Jake Johnson, as we talked about when we were talking about the Dink, like just playing like a kind of like a what was the way you described him? Like a, he's really good at playing like a clumsy fool.
Like the deadbeat version.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's really good at that. So if you haven't seen those for whatever reason, please check those out. But if you've already seen them, check them out again. They're really good rewatches.
It's the kind of thing where it's just unfair how good they are when you're like, oh yeah, the Marvel movies, and if it's like, oh my god, the Spider-Verse movies just blow them away. You watch these MCU Spider-Mans, and like, I like the vibe, but then you watch the Spider-Verse, and it's like, it's just night and day. Like, it's not just that it, you know, because of the animation, it can do whatever it wants to, but just, like,
sure,
just writing, humor, the arcs, the way it does everything, and it happens to be, like, among the, like, top-tier animated films of the last, I don't know, couple decades.
Yeah,
it's just like unreal that it went from being like the, like, if they're making an animated Spider-Man movie to like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. Like, it's just, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it really is. And I also would
the
have
music
to,
the music soundtrack,
yeah, like the all of it really comes together really, really well. The other thing that also reminded me of what you were just talking about there is, you know, they do employ a lot of like different camera movements within the Spider-Verse films because it's animation. And that's probably why I was so excited in Brand New Day when he's like being chased by the Hulk and like the camera flips. I was like, see, like cool stuff like that. Well, you can be doing that stuff like all the time. Like, you should be doing it for Spider-Man. And
it has a director that really wants to like be invested in the world of what Spider-Man would be going through. So the camera feels appropriately moving to that, where John Watts, I mean, clearly has something going on with casting and he's good at the actors. Cause like the camaraderie is fun in those movies.
Yeah.
I'm not denying that whatsoever, but in terms of like direction, they're just, by comparison, they just seem so static. Like, I can't think about the home trilogy of films and be like, those are like some standout directed sequences because of their action. All the action's pretty, like, it's fine, but it's like nothing that, like, nothing that's memorable is like the L train fight in Spider-Man 2. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Cause when I think about those films with John Watts, I'm not necessarily thinking about like any of the set pieces. I'm just thinking about like what you're saying, the
interactions
between all the people. Cause Ned MJ, you know, even, you know, I forget her name in the first movie, but Lauren Harrier's character, yeah. I forget her name. But, you know, they're all really good. Even Flash is really funny and stuff like that. So, yeah, like, anyway, Spider-Man, I guess I was just going on a Spider-Man tilt, but I'm trying to find them on 4K.
Fair enough.
What have you been watching?
A number of things, actually. Let me tell you, as the people in a sidecar enter their vehicle. I watched Soulmate.
This is the horror film.
This is the horror film that's set in the same universe as Mithrigan.
Really?
This is, of course, Soulmate 8.
Yes, yeah, with the number 8. Yeah.
It stars Lily Sullivan, who was in the Evil Dead Rise. She was the
Australian actress.
Yeah, she was the heroine of the film, the final girl, as opposed to the sister who was the evil girl.
Oh, never mind. I'm thinking of somebody. I was thinking the mom.
Though. I think they're both Australian.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But the mom turns, yeah.
Or maybe the mom's Australian, maybe she's English.
Yeah.
We should look this up. So
I'm going to look it up as you, as that. You continue talking
but
about
it. But I watched Soulmate. Bad.
Really?
Well, it was, I mean, it was a direct-to-streaming release. I mean, after, like, not just because Mithrigan, the second one, did so terrible.
Lily Sullivan is the mom. And then the daughter is, I guess.
No, that's not it. No, Alyssa Sutherland's
mom. Oh, Alyssa Sutherland's the mom. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Okay, yeah, Lily Sullivan's, like, the final girl.
Wait,
yeah, you're
where
right.
Where is she from?
I want to say that she's from...
Australia.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Australia, right there.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, all right, I was right.
We did it.
Okay, got it. But no, like, yeah, no, this was Soulmate. The thought was that, like, well, because Mithrigan, the sequel, didn't, Mithrigan 2.0 didn't do well, it's like, well, we're not even going to release this one in theaters. I think they didn't release it in theaters because it's a bad movie. Because it's bad.
Super, or is not Super Troopers 3. Mithrigan 2.0 or Soulmate?
Soulmate.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's the idea is what you'd expect as far as they made an adult version of a robot, of like an android,
right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
That is.
Supposed to help you around the house, and then
yeah, but also it's explicitly for, you know, like sex as well.
Things
go wrong.
Yeah.
It gets possessive. It does things that are bad. It becomes like a standard horror movie. Mm-hmm. It's just poorly constructed. It's not.
What was the movie with Hollywood's Good Boy, where he also
Companion?
Companion.
Jack Quaid.
Yeah.
No, yeah, Companion is a Best Picture winner compared to Soulmate.
Jeez.
Like, it's just,
all right.
No, yeah, in the realm of these kinds of movies, no, this one wasn't good. I am hoping for Taika Waititi's movie that he has, which also has a similar kind of
Something in the Sun.
Is it Nora in Sun?
We're about to find
it's
out.
Something like that because I say that because John Carney had that movie that's like Flora in Sun.
Yeah.
And then he has a movie called, like, Something Else in Sun, and the poster looked very similar to that one. I was like, well, that's not going to be confusing.
Clara
in Sun.
Should have known.
And the poster looks very similar to Flora in Sun.
It's and like, I'll know where that gap is, because it's a huge blank.
Okay, good. Anyway, that one has Jenna Ortega.
Correct.
And she's not a sex robot.
No.
No. Because it's a coming-of-age story.
And it's also written by... The book is written by the guy who wrote Never Let Me Go. He's the Japanese-English...
Oh, okay. That's...
Yeah, he's the Japanese-English author who has some very real thoughts about, you know, the use of intelligence, but also bodies. So I'm curious...
Let's hoping that that's a stronger story than what we got here.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else did I watch? I watched... Oh, of course. I watched the other big release of the week, which is One Night Only.
Yes.
This is, of course, the Purge, but instead of murder, it's that sex is legal.
Is that what the premise is? I thought it was like a rom-com romp.
I only laughed because, like, I saw it with Peter.
Peter Parrish.
And Peter was, until I told him what the premise was, in a trailer that he has seen multiple times that very much explicitly states what the premise is, he also thought the same thing.
Yeah. I'm not watching trailers anymore.
I mean, it's one trailer.
You got me there.
It's not like it was a teaser and then there was a second trailer. There's only one trailer for this movie.
Yeah.
Presumably you would have just seen it by being in a movie theater.
Sure, sure, sure. All right.
The premise is that sex has been made illegal in all of America, mm-hmm. except for one night, where sex between non-married people.
Okay.
So singles are not allowed to have sex except for one night.
Uh-huh.
And that's when they can go wild and have sex.
This is the story about the state of Utah?
This is about America.
No, oh, okay, yeah.
Utah.
Mormons.
Okay.
They get married to have sex, and then they, like, immediately divorce.
Yeah, yeah, let's not insult Mormons too badly
I'm
here.
Mormons!
By generalizing their whole thing.
I'm reading news stories. Again,
this is set in a future where somehow a Congress mostly full of white men decided that we should ban sex in America. So you have to really swallow that pill right there. It's been 3 years since this has taken place. That's also the premise of the film, but like it's set 3 years in, and now you have impossibly attractive people like Monica Barbaro and Callum Turner, who are desperate to find to have not just to have sex, but to find someone they can have a connection with.
Okay.
On this one particular night, Monica Barbaro plays like a. She's a commercial jingle singer, so she sings like recognizable songs, but replaces them with words that are, you know, like psoriasis.
Right. Yeah.
And then Callum Turner plays a definitely not English guy doing an American accent who owns a pizza parlor.
Does he go Boston or New York?
He goes New York.
Okay.
Very New York.
What are you doing to my pizza parlor?
Not that New York. Okay. He's not Chris Pratt in the first part of Mario.
Who then immediately loses the accent for that and the entire second movie.
But he owns a pizza parlor. Do we get to see him make pizzas at multiple points in the movie? Of course we do. So he has a girlfriend who's played by Maya Hawke, and she's like, we should sleep with other people. So they don't even get to have sex.
As a hall pass type situation?
No, just because, whatever.
She's going to leave them?
Because the movie requires her to want to have sex with the males. And so he and Monica Barbaro, they keep running into each other throughout the night. And there are various, like, things that occur to, like, that stop them from having sex with different people. Like, for instance, when you, not only are you sex legal for this one night, but it has to be protected sex. So like condoms everywhere are like out. So they have to
out?
They're running out, like people.
Yeah, yeah.
So like
Olympic Village.
Yeah. So like at one point they're like.
Well, I'm glad that they're practicing safe sex.
At one point they're like, there's only one condom left in a bodega, and they're both like fighting to try to get it, and it's supposed to be like hilarious antics and whatnot. This movie's not very good, is where I'm leading to. It has this ridiculous premise that you have to really swallow, but you turn your head and you just like have so many questions you can't like not like want to have answered. And even with the director's Will Gluck, who made Anything But You, that terrible, terrible movie with Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah.
But he also made like Easy A, which is really fun.
Yeah. Well, it was like a decade ago, or 15 years ago.
And the Peter Rabbit movies, which are enjoyable. I know. That's not what you expected me to say next, but yeah, that's what I said.
with what's his face?
James Corden, of course.
No, who's the cool guy's son?
Oh, Domhnall Gleeson.
Domhnall Gleeson, yeah.
The cool guy's son.
Yeah, you knew exactly what I was talking about.
Well, I knew Domhnall Gleeson was the other star.
Brendan Gleeson's cool.
The premise is, it's just so, you, it's so much to swallow as far as the idea. But like, even then, okay, let's accept it. Let's accept this ludicrous idea that sex is legal for just 12 hours once. And they have there's a hand scan system in place, so they like, you can get, you're monitored, like they know if you have sex illegally and stuff like that.
Is this supposed to be like a sci-fi thriller?
No, it's not. It's never. It's not.
It's just supposed to be like, oh,
it's not presented as a dystopian society.
Yeah,
whatsoever.
But it's just like, oh, here's a clever thing that we wrote.
The weirdest thing about this New York is it's the straightest New York you've ever seen. Like, it's so aggressively hetero, it's ridiculous. But there's three gay people, like, peppered in here or there, but otherwise, it's like, this is the straightest New York. It makes no sense to me.
Do they go places?
Location-wise? They go places-wise. Like, it feels like a New York movie where they actually travel to go to different places in New York. Like, it has scope to it, but it's just so poorly realized as far as the comedy, for a movie that's, like, supposed to be a raunchy sex comedy that is rated R, there's very little raunchiness or sex in it, which Will Gluck, who just has given the worst interviews about this movie, is like, Gen Z and Gen Alpha don't want to see sex in movies, so he took all those scenes out.
That's what he sounds like?
I assume that's what he sounds like. Yeah.
I've heard that there's like a lot of stuff on the cutting room floor.
Because he's like, if he's going off polling data, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm sure Gen Z and Gen Alpha, for one, participated in this poll, and two, were completely honest and saying, yes, I want to see sex in movies. That's how they would answer those questions.
Right.
Like, they wouldn't just secretly be like, of course I want to. I'm not going to say that in a poll. Anyway, anyway, it's a very, it's better than Anything But You. I'll give it that. Just because it feels like the actors didn't just like hatch out of like the sky and read a script for the first time. Like it seems like they're actually trying. And Barbaro and Caleb Turner, they have chemistry. They work well together. And separately, like Monica Barbaro.
So the individual components of the movie actually work better than the whole.
Yes. Okay. Where Anything But You like had individual components and just didn't know what to do with them.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is like a step up in that regard, but it's still like, given the premise and how like absurd it is, it could have went like crazy with it.
Yeah.
And it just didn't go really anywhere with that. So
okay.
One night only, more like no nights ever. Let's see what else we got here. I watched a movie called K-Pops. Have you heard of K-Pops?
Maybe if you describe it.
So it's about this it's this musician played by Anderson .Paak, who I assume is popular to some degree.
He's half Korean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's basically gotten nowhere in America, so he moves to Korea to write for K-pop stars and participates in like a Korean pop star contest.
Okay.
During that time, he meets a kid who's turned out to be the son of an old flame of his. You might be able to see where that's going. As they befriend each other and start realizing how similar they are in style and skills.
His clone?
yeah, obviously, he's his clone.
This is a comedy?
It's a comedy, okay. Yeah. And it's just about his efforts to, like, become, like, a big music star. And
not to grow as a father?
Well, he didn't know he was. I mean, that's the subplot. I would say. It's like a School of Rock type thing, but with like with K-pop.
Yeah,
it's pretty effective. Like, I'm not gonna say it's a great movie, but like for a movie I saw, got like it's like it was kind of an independent release. It got a decent like theatrical plays, and then it went right to Netflix. And I was like, I remember seeing the trailer for that. I watched it. It was like, this isn't bad. This does the job. It's a nice, like, you know, there's not. Like, there's not a, like, when I think of School of Rock, I'm like, there's not a lot of things like this specifically that I feel have come out since then. So, like, it's not like I've been inundated with, like, you know, crazy teachers teach kids how to do cool things or whatnot. Like, so it's like, all right, I can deal with one of these again. And, like, in the music field specifically, there's, like, right. There's plenty, like, sports movies do that all the time.
They do.
But, like, but this was like, oh, this actually worked well enough. So I was, it has a lot of cameos in it, too. A lot of people just pop up, and I assume a lot of K-pop stars pop in there, but I just didn't know. But other people pop in there, too.
Okay.
So I enjoyed K-pops. What else? Let's see. I rewatched Super Troopers and Super Troopers 2.
Okay.
For obvious reasons. Super Troopers is very funny. I like Super Troopers.
I like Super Troopers as well. When did you first see it?
In college.
Yeah, same.
Super Troopers 2, I've never been a big fan of.
I don't even remember like the premise of Super Troopers. We talked about this over dinner.
Yeah, I just watched it. I'm struggling to like think of what the main premise of the movie is. Yeah. But
when did that come out to you? Like
that was 2018.
Wow. Okay, that's
this is like 17 years later. Yeah. You know, I did this a couple weeks ago, or not like 2 weeks ago, but I didn't mention it because it was going long. I was with Scott Mendelson. He got tickets for us to see Unbreakable and The Sixth Sense on 35mm at the Palace Theater in L.A., downtown right. L.A.
Okay.
This old theater, like 20s, like old style theater that they still like play films in occasionally. They like restored it enough so it could support that. It happens to be the same because they're. We saw that during the day, and they're going to play Big Lebowski that night. It happens to be the same theater where Maude's apartment is in, like, the loft of that theater.
Whose apartment?
Julianne Moore's character in Big Lebowski. Her loft is in that theater.
That's cool.
That was kind of neat.
Yeah.
But anyway, watch the Sixth Sense and Unbreakable. It's 35mm. Still good.
who would have thought?
Matt Shyamalan. He's really knocking him out back then. Let me tell you.
The ending of Unbreakable is like one of my favorite endings of all time.
Or it's just freeze frames of text on screen.
It's just like the whole time, how everything starts making sense, and like how it's like, oh, you've been watching a comic movie the whole time. It's like, this is great. Like, what a fun way to like reveal this information.
It's a really good movie. Yeah.
I should have known because of the kids.
Great score.
They called me Mr. Glass.
I saw Mr. Glass at Comic-Con.
As a cosplay Or the actual Samuel L. Jackson.
What's the funnier answer to that question?
Samuel L. Jackson.
Samuel L. Jackson. Yeah. No, it was a guy.
The Capital One guy?
It was a really good cosplay. Yeah. It was Mr. Glass. Yeah. But like, yeah, I mean, Unbreakable's
Kane or wheelchair?
Kane.
Okay.
But yeah, Sixth Sense. Like, I haven't seen that on, like, in a theater since
1999.
It's a real magic trick of a movie as far as what that thing's doing. Yeah. As far as like the performance is so good, it's such a quiet movie, and yet it was like the second biggest film of that year. It was such a massive blockbuster, and it's like it's a horror movie, but like the scares are pretty far in between, and even then they're reliant largely on just like minor imagery with like some needle
and it's
ticks.
Not even really the it's movie's the, not even about that.
No, it's not about being a horror movie. It's just more like it.
But
it's,
when they do appear, like there's a sequence where he has to use the bathrooms. Like that sequence is like
there's like
beyond like
when scary. It puts you in Cole's point of view, and it's like, yeah, that would be scary for a child, and like it gets you to understand why it's scary. And everything.
Hey, Aaron, let me go show you my dad's gun.
Okay, but those performances are just so top notch.
They
I
are.
Mean, like it's,
Toni Collette got nominated, didn't she?
She did, and it's like you look back at the movie and you, wait, if you haven't seen it in a while and you just think of like how of the three of them, how did the mom get the it's sort of Haley Joel Osment.
Haley Joel
Osment too. But like it was like how did the mom, and then you watch the movie, it's like, oh, but it's because she's like so quietly great in this movie.
Yeah,
and like they have such, I mean, they have a whole scene at the end when like he's basically telling her like, you know, that I can see dead people, but in like in his own way. And the way she's responding is just so wonderful.
She was in the back watching
it's so,
you.
It's so wonderful. Yeah. You see the like all the emotion there. One of multiple great horror performances from Toni Collette. But yeah, I was very happy to check those movies out again for sure.
I'm glad.
Is there any TV that I've watched that's been super cool? I watched Ted Lasso started again this week.
It did?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was just like, watch this because if you're feeling bad about yourself.
No, there's a fourth season of Ted Lasso that's now out. Yeah. I've seen the first five, because I have press screeners for it. And I think it gets off to a bit of a rocky start because it has to, like, do a lot of catch up with you and, like, get a reason for Ted to go back to England. And once you get past that, though, I think the show, like, kind of writes itself as far as being about Ted having to be a manager of now a women's football club. And the interactions and stuff are very Ted Lasso. And I hope that it does more with some of the other characters to kind of make it less about Ted, because I think his arc is pretty much complete, and more about some of the other characters that matter, more especially in the realm of a women's football club.
Okay.
So we shall see. You know what? No, there's a show I'm really enjoying right now on Hulu called Furious. So everything involving the word Furious is great this year.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
The Furious, the upcoming 25th anniversary of The Fast and the Furious, all that's really good. But this show stars Emmy Rossum. Did I talk about this one? I don't think I did.
I know of it, but I don't think that you've talked about it.
Stars Emmy Rossum. She plays an FBI agent, formerly a cop. She got out of being a cop because she got sexually harassed. Something happened with another cop, and she ratted on him, and then all the cops hated her because that's how it goes. So she got out of being a cop, and now she's an FBI agent. Meanwhile, there's a serial killer that's going after rich men. Well, are they connected in some way? Perhaps. But we're watching both sides of things. So, like, you could chalk that up to something like Killing Eve. As far as seeing like both the murderer and the cop at the same time. But regardless, the show is quite good. It's loosely inspired by a film called Black Widow from back in like the late 80s with Teresa Randall. Russell, among others. It's a solid show. I'm really enjoying it so far. It's from Elizabeth Merriweather, who did New Girl. With the Amanda Seyfried one, Dropout, the one with where she's that wanted to do like the
I know what you're talking about,
the magic needle that would cure you or whatever. Elizabeth Holmes, thank you. So this is like, there's humor, but this is not a comedy. Like, it's very much a cop drama / murder show. Emmy Rossum is great in it. Scoot McNairy plays like her friend and like close cop partner. He's very good in it. And I always like seeing Scoot McNairy doing stuff. Yeah. And the woman playing, I don't know the actor's name, the woman playing the serial killer is also very good. And a number of notable people play, like, the various victims that she has.
Are we supposed to know who the serial killer is from the jump?
Yeah, we do. She goes, okay. Yeah, Lola Pettigrew.
Oh, okay.
So we know who she
is. Oh, Jake Lacy's in the
show. Jake Lacy's in there. Rob Delaney's
in
there.
Rob Yang is in there.
Rob Yang is in there.
He gets fired in succession.
He sure does. His dad made him do it. But yeah,
Hope Davis is in there.
Hope Davis is in there. Yeah, it's a good. It's a really good show. I think it's like 4 episodes in so far. It's been really solid.
Okay.
It's got a quirkiness to it, despite not being specifically a comedy. But it's working pretty well. Excited to see where that one goes. All right.
Before we go to the next segment, I have a game for you.
Okay.
A very early game. Okay.
Well, that was you mentioned
TM. You mentioned Toni Collette.
Yes.
Nominated Best Actress, Best Supporting Actress.
Uh-huh.
And then also
Haley Joel Osment,
Best Supporting Actor. In those 2 categories, it's not a real game. It's more of just like a give me your yay, nay kind of thing.
Okay.
Angelina Jolie wins for Girl Interrupted.
Uh-huh.
Toni Collette. Catherine Keener for Being John Malkovich. Samantha Morton, Sweet and Lowdown. Chloe Sevigny for Boys Don't Cry.
It's a pretty fucking strong category.
Yeah. Did the right person win? Just a quick cursory yes, no.
Yes, just because, like, that is a very good performance in a movie. Yeah. It's, like, overly fine, but, like, yeah. She's so clutch in that movie. But that is a rock-solid category of actors.
Wait till this, the best supporting actor.
Category. Oh, I know the actor category.
Michael Caine, yeah. Cider House Rules.
Cider House Rules.
Tom Cruise, Magnolia.
Magnolia.
Michael Clark Duncan, The Green Mile.
Mm-hmm.
Jude Law, Chandler, Mr. Ripley. Mm-hmm. And Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah.
Talk about stacked.
Yeah, that's...
We used to make movies in this country, Aaron.
That should have been Cruise, though.
Should have been Cruise
for Magnolia.
Should have been Cruise for Best Actor and Jerry Maguire.
Honestly, Michael Caine's the worst one in that category. That's the problem. He wins. So it's like...
He's playing old guy with wisdom, Aaron.
He's playing the house.
That's why he won!
The Academy thought he ruled. But no, it's a stack category where Michael Caine is easily the weakest of them, and it's like Weinstein Company, Miramax, throwing their stuff in there. And that, because it's 1999 is like a year where there's so many people that aren't nominated that are amazing in the movies. Like, there it's ridiculous. And I remember that night too, where I'm like, as a kid, I'm rooting for Haley Joel Osment to win because, like, yeah, it's a great performance.
He's like, yeah, he's 5 years younger than we
but
are.
When they started being read, I heard Michael. I'm like, is Michael Clark Duncan about to? And then it didn't happen. I'm like, okay, yeah, Michael Caine. Anyway, because
Can you do your Michael Caine impression?
Michael. And I was like, Michael Clark Duncan's going to. It's like, no, it's Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
This Oscar is a great Oscar. It's my second Oscar. And my best Oscar.
You're not nasally enough. No, I'm kidding. Sure, you got to only blow the bloody doors off. All right, keep going. What's next?
Was that the game? Is that it?
That's it.
Okay, thank you. All right. Well, okay. Well, we just got out of a movie.
We did.
We just saw Super Troopers 3.
We sure did.
The third Super Troopers.
That's right.
Let's play some of that trailer.
Well, well, well. If it isn't the old timers passing the torch to the new generation.
You beat my rookie in a foot race? No ticket.
Wait, what?
1, 2, 3, go!
Hey, Thorny, we're super excited for your hot sister's wedding.
To Rod Barba.
Son of a bitch.
Got any beer?
That's my shirt.
It's a good sex shirt.
I got a Postmates delivery of 12 short and wide condoms to Rod Barba.
Only 12? I guess we'll have to do.
Here I come, babe.
Come get your cream, girl.
I'm going to stop this wedding.
Mom, Dad, this is Farva.
Oh, my God, babe, you clean up great.
I wonder if they have any white tea here. Oh, wait, that's me, Whitey.
We do like racial humor.
Who doesn't?
All right, that should have been some of the trailer for Super Troopers 3, a movie that Abe and I just got out of moments ago. When Farva's over-the-top Indian engagement to Thorny's sister spirals into chaos, the Super Troopers must navigate Thorny's schemes to break up the relationship, all while trying to bring down a pernicious new drug ring. Succinct.
Sounds...
Pretty much does the job, yeah.
Yeah.
It's It's always a new drug ring in these Super Troopers movies, by the way. I just noticed.
In the state of Vermont.
It really? It's like, because of the border, right? I think they can bring the border into play.
Build the wall.
Canada. All right. So we just saw Super Troopers. We just talked about how we like Super Troopers 1. We can barely remember Super Troopers 2. What did you think of Super Troopers 3?
I like it. I don't know if I love it, but it certainly feels more memorable than something like Super Troopers 2, where I don't remember what any of the premise was at all. Or even in the side gags. You told me what the opening was for that movie, and I did remember like two of the characters or two of the actors that are in that scene. As far as like this one goes, is it forgettable? Kind of, but at least they kind of centered on one central premise, which is like a wedding, Thorny's sister getting married, and then like hijinks ensue around it, along with like, you know, some additional hijinks from the local town boys. What is fun about it is like the crew is back together. The entire, I don't know, was Rabbit in part two?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's
yeah.
Broken Lizard, they're all together. Yeah.
Even, okay, Broken everybody
they're
was.
They're all
yeah.
there.
Okay, yes. Yeah. But all this to say is that it's got its fun hijinks, not super memorable. I still enjoy, I think, one the most, either because it was, it caught me off guard the most, but at least this one doesn't feel as though they're trying to revive some of that from that first one. And they're kind of just like doing their thing, even though they're older and whatever else. But yeah, I had some good laughs in it, and it was good to see it with like a theater audience. And it certainly was, it had, I think it wasn't like gross out, which I think maybe they tried to do it at some points, but, I had an okay time with it. It's certainly not something that I think is going to win any awards, but is it entertaining? I think yes. And I think it's probably like the second best of the three.
Yeah, it's easily the second best of the three. It's highly amusing. I was very much happy to like be smiling throughout this movie. I think it's very consistent in what it's doing. I think the second one, from what I could remember, it feels like that. Like what I like about Broken Lizard is that they up until they started making Super Trooper sequels, they were just making like movies with them. You know, just more movies with them.
Right.
Club Dread, Beer Fest. Yeah. The Slammin' Salmon, yeah. You know, all the, and then there's the TV show that I actually quite like, Tacoma FD.
I like that show.
I really like that show too.
I don't
too.
Know if it's still on.
It got canceled, but it had like four seasons.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not nothing to sniff at. I think partially because people just started getting popular. Like the very various cast members started going like like I know the
Eugene Cordero
was
really big.
He got big enough where he wasn't in the last season. Yeah. The girl Hassie Hallstrom. She's gonna be on the new Baywatch on Fox.
Oh, okay.
But she was also in that shark movie last year, Dangerous. What is it called? Dangerous Waters or whatever, with Jai Courtney that many of us are big fans of. But regardless, that was a good show. So like when it comes to the Super Troopers, it's like, okay, we can do more of this. Dangerous Animals. There it is. Okay. And I don't think their hearts aren't invested in it, but at the same time, it's like, I like it more when they just decide to do other things as opposed to revisit these characters. And I think the problem with the second one, from what I recall, it felt like a movie that, because it was partially fan-funded, it feels like they were doing a lot to sort of cash in on the fact that the first one was popular for certain reasons. Not that it was necessarily an entire rehash of just jokes from the first one, but it felt... it had that kind of energy to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Where this third one feels like it's a fresh take. Again, it's not unique anymore because we're just watching the third iteration of Super Troopers, but both because the scale feels lower, like they don't really, there's not a lot of locations they go through. It's kind of just a lot of skits with them in, you know, one of four locations they have. And because it's not trying to live up to some kind of like, you know, dorm room legacy that the first one has as far as being like this college haven for a lot of kids and just trying to be like its own movie, I think that works in its favor. Again, it's not especially amazing as far as like whatever the plot is, but who cares about the plot for these movies? And the jokes, that like, you know, they work well enough, but like, yeah, I think what it was consistently amusing to me, which I
yeah.
gotta be happy.
I think what I'm most enjoyed about it is that it's not a bit fest, right? And like they actually try to center it around a cohesive story, a coherent story. And that's a good thing. Even if the story is like fairly weak and like not germane to the entire extent of the movie in which the actions Actually, it is, but you know, it's not a super great story. But at least they're not just like doing bit after bit after bit, which is something that we have seen other movies do, whether it be sequels or just spinoffs, or you know, number three, number four, number five, number six, or whatever the case might be. Like Scary Movie 6 or whatever, the most recent Scary Movie was kind of like that, where they're just doing like bits, and I was like, see, I get it, because you waited many, many decades to regain the reins of your franchise, and you have a lot to catch up on, but it doesn't work because they're just bits, and it's not funny when it's just bits. So at least this one like has some stuff that it's going for that it will stick back, it'll loop back to, hey, my sister shouldn't marry you because like you're a jackass kind of thing.
I mean, the difference there is that the Scary Movies are parody movies where the sure. There's having a plot is just the means to an end as far as going from A to B, but like it's the Naked Gun movies are bits, the Airplane is bits, and that's one of the funny movies ever made. I mean, yeah. Like it can work, but you know, you're not wrong, this one does have a story it wants to tell, as silly as it may be, but it's a silly comedy. It should be a silly story.
Yeah.
It's Super Troopers 3, Farver's Wedding, as the subtitle.
Which I did not know.
The subtitle
did
that
anybody
is,
know this?
It's not in the marketing. It's
is it in the press notes?
It's more like a fun gag of like them suddenly applying a subtitle to the film, just to expressly make it clear what the movie's mainly going to be about. But it, like, I'm not going to say that it has jokes that like subvert expectations, but it does have a fun way of like using these characters that you know at this point and playing around with those like those dynamics where like Farva, played by Kevin Heffernan, is like nobody likes his character, at least in the realm of like, obviously there's something there that these guys have all stayed together. So at the end of the day, they kind of like Farva, but for the most part, they hate Farva. And so the idea,
even Brian Cox's character.
Yeah. Right? So the idea that now J.J. Chandrasekhar's character is going to be brother-in-law with Farva, and the way that he has to sort of scheme his way to ideally break up this wedding that he's going to have to his sister, played by Hannah Simone. Like, there's fun to be had in seeing Farva like escape the possible ways he could offend everyone and still be betrothed in this way. Like, it's like there's fun there and like ways that gets a lot of mileage out of this really ridiculous plot that I appreciated for sure. But then you have like just all the antics that these cops, you know, the super troopers will get into that I appreciate. There's all the running bits or whatnot as far as how they like Nat Faxon comes in as their new captain. Brian Cox is his character's retired, even though he's still in the movie, because Brian Cox just loves these guys apparently. I love the idea that Brian Cox is like, what, the Broken Lizard Boys are called again? I want to do this.
that's a pretty good Brian Cox. Yeah. I also do appreciate that this cast, they actually got a lot of like cool players to play with them. Andrew T. Meeks from SNL, Lisa Gilroy from, you know, she's on the scene, but she also does a lot of Comedy Bang Bang stuff, which is like where I know her from. You know, Chase Crawford and this
from,
whole
from the Boys.
From the Boys, and, yeah. And Hannah Simone.
John Renitsky, I know him from a lot of comedy stuff as well.
Like, so it's like it's got a pretty fun cast, and they're all game for things. Like they all kind of fit into the characters that they've been written for, and they're not trying to do too much, or they're not trying to like go too off script. I think Lisa might be the one that does the most, but that's more the bloopers than anything.
And even Sakina Jeffrey, and I can't think of the actor who plays the father, the Jennifer Hickok's brother, Iqbal Thiba.
Iqbal Thiba,
you've seen plenty of times whenever it comes to like cast. You cast Indian characters in your movies, it's like they tend to come up quite a bit.
Right.
They're also quite game. They have a lot of fun with it. They blend in well, which you know works in the film's favor. But yeah, I mean, there's not a ton to get into on Super Troopers 3, but like, I was happy to like, you know, like the worst thing I could watch is a boring comedy, and I was never bored watching this movie.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think like the best thing about it is that it has momentum and it does what it needs to do, and you're entertained throughout it. I think you're right about the amusement factor with this.
Yeah, it's, you know, it you can't quite tell like, you know, this is definitely gonna be a cult classic. That's just impossible to do. I don't necessarily think Super Troopers 3 is going to ascend to that level either. At the same time, for the third Super Troopers movie, something that these guys probably never thought would happen, it's pretty funny. Like, it does the job of like having just a lot of good jokes. I like to see this crew do something else, but together again. Like we mentioned, Tacoma FD, that's mainly just Steve Lem and Kevin Heffernan. Like, because Jay Chanasekar, he's like not involved at all.
Yeah, he might. Stolenheitz or whatever.
And Paul Soda, they like appear occasionally on that show. Yeah, yeah. But it's like, is that when all of them are together, they can be pretty. You know, I saw them back in the day. They did a Irvine Improv once where they all did a comedy show.
Yeah,
which is pretty cool to see. Like they like individually they had like stand up sets and they did like skits together.
Are they stand ups or are they sketch comedy?
They're both.
Okay.
Yeah, because they had their own sets to do and whatnot, and they also did like sketch bits on the stage and whatnot. It was a neat. Yeah. God, that was a while ago, dude.
Must have been.
That was after Beer Fest, but before anything else at that point. So.
That was a while ago. Yeah. How did you hear about the production of this movie? Did you hear about the production of this movie?
I just knew there, like, I got PRs from Fox, or from 20th Century, from Searchlight, saying, Super Troopers 3, here's the first photo, and then Super Troopers 3, finished the production.
I didn't know that it was in production, which I guess, you know, keeping it under wraps, which is fine. We kind of talked about it with, like...
It wasn't under wraps, it's Super Troopers. It's a little niche. It's not like Ridley Scott blows up an airport or something. It's a random comedy.
But all to say is that I'm glad that it was produced, and I was glad that it was made, because these guys either funded it themselves or... had enough of a story to, like, you know, really go into, like, a general meeting and just, like, really pitch the idea. And, movies are hard to make, right? So it's really cool that they were able to either make money from the second one and had an idea for a third one to make it and, you know, actually get it released in theaters, which is also equally hard.
That's what it comes down to, because this wasn't a fan-funded one like the second one. The second one's partially fan-funded, to be clear, but it still was, that was a big part of it, is, like, which is mainly more of, prove to the studio that there's popularity for us to make one of these. That's what it really came down to. And it worked, because they did get $4 million and whatnot to do part of the budget. And the movie made 32 total back, which is pretty good for an R-rated indie comedy to a cult favorite. That's not bad. So this third one, not fan-funded, but I do think, like, 20th Century News, like, hey, we could give these guys, like, you know, a few, it's noticeably cheaper than the second movie. The second movie does have, like, stuff in it, and it has, like, some big stunt stuff in it, and, like, bigger, like, cat, like Rob Lowe's in there, and is it, like, has big, like, cast members or whatnot.
Rob Lowe,
he's the villain, I believe, in that movie
again.
He's at least in it. I forget. I think he's the villain in that movie again. I just can't remember. Super. But, like, what I'm saying is, it had, like, enough of an upgrade by comparison to this movie, where it's like, this one, it doesn't look cheap, it looks fine, but, like, they're not breaking the bank on who they got to star this one and the kind of stuff they're doing.
But it does go to the point of, like, yeah, you're right that it looks fine. It actually does look like a Hollywood production, which is good. And, you know, they shot it, the credits say New York, Massachusetts, and probably, like, some other parts of the Northeast. Again, really cool that they're able to, like, make this for people that are, like, well in, like, their 50s at this point, you know. So, yeah, I would agree with you that I think Club Dread and those other Broken Lizard productions, where they just have, like, a weird premise and they kind of just go off of it, like, those are fun. I am curious if they actually have more ideas like that. But also, I think the power of, like, a trio, like, or a group, it's not a trio, but there's, like, five of them, is kind of like something that we haven't really seen in a long time. I'm glad that they're still prospering.
Yeah, you don't get too many troops these days.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
You got Lonely Island occasionally whenever they feel like doing something. And these guys. And, like, there's probably people I'm forgetting. But, like, yeah, there's not a lot of, like, that kind of comedy.
Right.
You get sketch shows or whatnot, which is different. But yeah. So Super Troopers 3, it's currently playing in theaters. When do people see this movie?
If you're a fan of the series, you should see it in theaters, you know, especially if you can get a crowd with you. But it's probably not harming you if you're going to watch it on, like, premium cable or something like that either.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be streaming soon enough on Hulu, I guarantee it. But at the same time, if you want to, like, prove to these guys that, like, hey, we want to see more of your comedies in theaters, yeah, go check it out and check it out in theaters. It's a satisfying film for Super Troopers fans and Broken Lizard fans, I think, for sure. So there you go. All right. We did one game already. Do you have another surprise game for me? Or
I don't have another surprise game, but just going very quickly, like, the Monty Python crew, Key and Peele.
Monty Python's old. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, exactly, yeah. But, I mean, yeah, like, Kids in the Hall, maybe? Like, but
also
super old. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, again, just these kind of groups still exist, but they don't exist like in the large national media as much anymore.
Like, even the whitest kid you know is old, because, like, well, one of
well, Zach Cregger is like making
one's
movies
passed,
now,
and the other is a director of horror movies. All right. Well, let's get to our feedback.
Feedback.
So we go to the various questions answered on our Facebook page. We really asked just for people to ask us questions today. So let's see what we got in that area. We got one question here from David Maloof. He asks, guys, are you excited about Clayface? Clayface, of course, being the upcoming standalone, the upcoming DC Universe film about the character Clayface. Look this up so I can find out who plays Clayface again, because it's someone that's
relatively new
actor. He's not a big movie star.
Eddie Marsan.
It's not Eddie Marsan.
It's Sam Hell.
No, it's
Hazel.
This guy. It's Tom
Rhys-Harries.
Yeah, that's who it is.
Tom Rhys-Harries. What has he been in? Wolf King, have you seen that? The Return?
The Return, that's the...
Doctor Who is an episode of the newest Doctor Who?
The Return's the Odyssey movie with Ralph Fiennes,
yeah.
What are his top four?
His top four? White Lines.
The Gentleman.
Gentleman.
Okay, so he's got a small role in The Gentleman.
A commercial for H&M.
Okay.
And Suspicion on Apple TV.
Okay, so like we said, pretty much not well known as far as
yet
until it becomes Clayface. Who's Clayface? Who's it directed by again?
Clayface is directed by James Watkins.
James Watkins, who of course gave us Eden Lake. Okay, good movie.
The Take, McMafia.
The Take, okay.
Speak No Evil, okay. The remake with James McAvoy.
Oh, that doesn't help me, but okay. I mean,
you've heard of it.
It's not a badly directed
movie.
He
doesn't have
movie.
A ton. He's
oh, Woman in Black. Okay, Eden Lake is a really good movie. Woman in Black is a fun movie.
There you go.
Okay, all right. So that's the... Okay, and so it's a film about Clayface, of course. I will
An
say...
An actor who has tried to, like, stay young and some weird things happen.
Well, the reason I don't believe it, but I've seen both trailers that have come out so far. Have you seen? You've seen the first trailer at least.
No, I've seen no trailers.
We talked about the trailer at one point on this show.
Did we?
I
might have missed that episode.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
So you've seen neither trailer.
Seen none of the trailers.
Trailers are really the second one's really selling it to me.
Like in a horror way, or like I'm gonna like go watch it
in a horror way.
Oh, great!
I'm very curious to see a DC movie that wants to be a body horror film about Clayface. I think it's doing a really good job of selling that second one, especially. I think it's really selling that pretty well.
Yeah.
All right. So sight unseen, and just the idea of they're making a movie about another Batman villain, and it's Clayface. What do you think about that?
Well, here's like my answer to the question, which is I'm glad that they're making this movie for these. They're not fringe characters, but James Gunn is much better at finding these like off the beaten path kind of characters and. Who have either darker backgrounds or have something mysterious about them and just really expanding on it. Cause he's done things like this before, both in comedic ways, but also very horrific ways. And, you know, say what you will about Supergirl, which I am on the record of saying, I think there's a better movie in Supergirl and it's kind of like got smashed to hell, which after the fact, like kind of came out as true. I'm excited for them to kind of start this small ball rolling for these types of things versus like going for like the Supermans immediately or the Supergirls immediately. So I'm excited for these things, especially if it leads up to something. It doesn't necessarily have to lead up to anything because I'm also not really, I'm not out on the whole entire let's lead up to one giant mashup movie, but I do like the idea that let's take these characters that you know of and make them full-fleshed movies in which we can put a lot of creative effort and a lot of money behind it, where it doesn't have to be like a Morbius or a Kraven the Hunter, where it's like, let's make it so that they're anti-heroes instead of like villains. Like, no, if you're telling me the second trailer was like full-on horror selling you, it's like, fuck it, I'm in.
Yeah, I think what works is that there's... Because you gotta like sound not like a hypocrite when it comes to all these damn Sony movies that were bad. The problem with those movies was they were bad. Like, I think there's a way to make all of those movies work to some degree, even if you're like hamstrung by the fact that you can't have Spider-Man in your Spider-Man villain movies. I think Venom is the best example of that, where I'm not a particularly big fan of those Venom, but they made three of them. Clearly people responded to that well enough. You can turn him into an anti-hero and make that into a successful franchise, largely because you have this gonzo performance from Tom Hardy. The idea here is to do Clayface, and I'm like, well, there is a tragic story to be told with him that's not in, like, The Fly or something like that. And if they make that work, if the writing's solid and they can deliver on, like, the visual approach of a Clayface, I don't necessarily need Batman to be involved in that story.
Exactly.
Whether it's ever, or if it's just like, by the way, Batman will deal with this, like, you know, in some capacity in some other film or whatnot. I don't know. But so far what they've sold me is very convincing that they can pull something like this off. Maybe that's just good trailer writing, or maybe they've got really something on their hands. It's in October. They didn't have to put it here necessarily, despite the fact that it's horror. Like, if they felt like they had something that was, you know, not going to do that great, they could go to somewhere else. So I'm curious. I don't think this will do Joker numbers. That's a movie. But but I am curious about this one. So yeah, I mean, if obviously we want any movie to be good. Hopefully, yes, this one does deliver. Clayface is a unique character in the Batman world. That's a visually, especially because they're going for the R rating, there's some stuff you can do with that I can be pretty creative. So on the whole, yes, I am excited about Clayface, to answer the question.
Yeah, exactly. Did you watch the storyline in the animated series? Like, it's like a 3 or 4 arc episode.
Oh, I've seen the whole animated series.
It's
plenty
a huge
of times,
episode.
Yeah. Clayface is a...
It's really good, it's really dark,
it's
really,
sad. It's a neat character. Yeah. So, yeah, expanding upon that will be interesting to see for sure. All right, thank you for that question, David. Do we have anything else to talk about?
I think that's it for now.
Is that it?
Yeah.
How long have we been going? No, we got a lot out of this.
Yeah.
All right. Well, very good. All right, yeah, then we'll wrap it up here. You can find everything I do on my personal Substack page, codazeek.substack.com. I am also the co-host of a podcast called Two Black Guys Talk Godzilla, an award-winning show where my friend and fellow film critic Terrence Johnson and I discuss the Godzilla films in chronological order. And, of course, there's the Summer of 86 at 40, woo! Where friends of the show Scott Mendelson and Brandon Peters and I discuss the summer movie season of 1986, 40 years later. What else? We Live Entertainment movie reviews, social media, all the socials at Aaron's PS4. Abe?
You can find more friends over on Instagram, abe.mo, and twitter.com/WallerSmooth. Hashtag Baby Ramrod. Hashtag What's the deal, though?
You can find other episodes about Now 30 Day on iTunes, Audio, Spotify, and Stitcher.
SoundCloud, Podomatic, and HHWLOD.
Feel free to email us at outnowpodcast@gmail.com.
Check out our Facebook page and our Blue Sky page, Outnow Podcast.
And our Instagram and Twitter at @outnow_podcast. Yeah, that's going to do it for this week's episode. Next week, we have the end of Oak Street.
Oh, boy.
We're finally getting to the end.
Yeah.
Of Oak Street. We'll get there. Yeah, that's going to do it. Thanks to the listeners for listening. Hope you enjoyed this, our bonus shenanigans as we...
Forgive the audio if it sounds strange.
I bet it sounds amazing because we're in a very enclosed location, so it probably sounds pretty good. But yeah, that's going to do it. So until next time, so long.
And bye!